This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hazrat Mulana Taha Kiran, now I'm going to give Sheikh Dr. Husseini 10 minutes to respond, whereafter the final 10 minutes will be again by Mulana Kiran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If the set of our debate is that any book I mention or any mufassir or any muhaddis from the world of Ahl Sunnah I introduce as a pro-Ahlul Bayt figure, then it immediately he becomes Shia, then really that's something which I have to introduce more of them. I have to have all of the books here for all of them to become Shia overnight. That's not, I think, the right way to deal with Hadith and authenticity of the Hadith. And the second thing is the issue of Irada, which has been mentioned. Innama yuridullah, Allah want to this to do this and wish to do this. The wish of Allah is two type of wish. We have iradatu takwiniya and we have iradatu tashri'iya. Iradatu tashri'iya is what the brother mentioned. Ma yaj'alu min haraj wa yuridu liyutahhirakum. Allah doesn't want to put difficulties on you. Allah wants you to become purified. He wants you to perfect yourself. He want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to reach to Him. So that is iradatu tashri'iyya. But iradatu takwiniyya is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala innama arada an takuna shay'an fayaqul lahu kun fayakun. That is takwini. Allah want the earth to be there. He says be and it will be. Allah want the man to be created. Allah want to purify you. He can purify you with no doubt. Allah has purified a lot of prophets before, and Allah has purified His own prophet, the last messenger. That's not the first thing which has been done. Allah has done that before. That is another thing. Okay, now that you have accepted that this verse, this particular verse, is revealed about Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, which is Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein and Ali. Now either you accept that the wives are excluded or you still emphasize that the wives are included. I just, yes or no? You still accept that the wives are included with the ayah in that portion or not?
The wives are included by virtue of the tartib of the Quran.
Okay, that's good. So I got my answer. So it's not only for Ahlul Bayt for what we believe. So we have now additions that we have now to deal with it. The other ayah which the brother mentioned, that Allah wants to purify you, before that word, that Allah liyutahhirakum, the word ma has been used. Ma. What is ma? Meaning water. What is water for cleaning? Liyutahhirakum. So what is that? It's rich of zahiri. We have got two types of rich. One is rich of zahiri, which can be cleaned by water. Okay, you are junub, you got blood in your hand, your hand is not okay, it's not clean. You go to the toilet, you wash your hand by soap. This is water to purify you. Because in that ayah, the word ma, Allah anzal al ma, Allah revealed water, liyutahhirakum. Allah wants you to clean yourself with this water. When you go to toilet, don't use tissue, use this one. That is the meaning. That's one. Okay, one thing which came very good out of the mouth of the brother, which I'm very happy with that, this ayah, actually, the purification of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is what? Acceptance of the prayer of Prophet. Listen to this very carefully. Before the ayah revealed to the Prophet, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathers these four people under the clock. And then he says, Allahumma hadhihi ahlu bayt, hadha ahlu bayt, these are my household. Allahumma azhib anhum ar-rijs, oh Allah, I want you to purify them. Wa yutahhirahum tathira, Allah want you to make them purified in a special manner. This is the prayer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, immediately when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray, here we have got an accepted prayer. Allah says, "Innama yuridu Allah li yuzhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahla al-bayt." What you asked, here, have it. I purified them. If you believe that this ayah is not the answer of Allah to the prayer of the Prophet, then it is something wrong with our Nabi Kareem, na'uzu billah, that he asks something from Allah and Allah did not give him. Allah says, hey, I'm giving you, you know, still they must work hard to become purified. If this is not the answer of Allah to the prayer of the Prophet, then sorry. Allah did not have that favor to them. He didn't grant him the wish. That's another thing. So, and if ayah is irada to tashri'i, that let them purify themselves, let them do good things, then that's not for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam only. It's not only for the wives of the Prophet. It's not for the five people. It's for you, for me, for everyone. So why Allah must have so much emphasis to bring kum instead of kunna, to make three times emphasize on tathir, liyuzhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahla al-bayt, wa yutahhirakum, and then tathira at the end, and then this is acceptance of the Prophet, prayer, and then Prophet must go out of his way to pray for his family, and that prayer is not also acceptable. I mean, this has completely become a ridiculous story. Okay. Now, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's a good question that the brother raised, and I want to emphasize on that. And he also said that this ayah was added later on into that portion by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's supervision. So the place that this ayah was revealed actually was some other times when the wife of the Prophet were not there. 18 years later. 18 months before the demise of the Prophet. But وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ has been revealed when? On the fourth year of Hijrah. How many distance between them? Some of those wives are still there, even, to be a part of this. That's another one. The other thing is, now let us see from historical point of view which of these two sets is going to work. The ayah includes wives and exclude wives. Which of them is going to be now working in a practical term over there in the field? Okay. According to this ayah, if Ahlul Bayt and wives are all together purified, then it doesn't work because we have incidents that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, like Ali was fighting with another Ahlul Bayt, which is Aisha. And Ali was the one who killed a lot of Sahaba. Zubair was killed in the war with Ali. And when Ali was killing him, he was very sorry for the man that this sword fight a lot for Islam and now I'm killing him. Now here, Aisha, one Sahaba according to Sunni brothers. And here we got Ali, another Sahaba, they're conflicting. What's purification for? Where is that purification? Okay? So definitely one of them is purified and the other one is not there. And if you go to the history of Islam, you will know, you will not find one place of riches in Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam in the entire history of Islam, but you find a lot of riches with the other ones, which is not included in this ayah. One of them is to launch war against the imam of your time, the leader of your time. Okay? One of them is to distribute sweet when Aisha heard that Ali is dead. Okay? So these are the things that we have to really realize. And then the other thing, very strange. The brother mentioned about Ahlul Bayt with a family of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is included, but we have 3, 4, 5, not more than about 6 ayahs in Quran which wives of the prophets are not included with Ahlul Bayt. Now one of them is وَإِنَّ لُوتًا مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ نَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عَجُوزًا فِي الْغَابِرِينَ, which is the wife of Lut, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا نُفَرِّقَ بَيْنَهُمْ, all of them are prophets of Allah, and here there is a wife of a prophet which is excluded. Allah says he is not your ahl. Okay? We have saved the family and the Ahlul Bayt of Lut illa ajuzan. Only the wife was not saved. So he is not a part of Ahlul Bayt because he is not Ahl. The thing is, and also in the other chapter 65, verse 15, again we read, Ya Lut, and then continuation, فَأَسْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ الْقِطَعِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يَلْتَقِتْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا إِمْرَأَتَكَ. So, التفت. Sorry. إِلَّا إِمْرَأَتَكَ. Again, we have got who? I am not a Hafiz. I don't claim that I can. I am also, as the brother says, if Zahabi can make so big mistakes of adding 200 verses in Quran and cannot be condemned, Husseini, with a small knowledge that he has got, he cannot be condemned. Okay. Wait, brother. Okay.
Excuse me, one minute. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning I made it clear that we will not in any way insult the speakers, whichever one of them, when they
Please,
are speaking.
Yeah, I don't want it.
If they make a mistake in pronouncing or recitation, so be it. We can correct that. But I don't think it's behoving us to ridicule anyone on that ground. Please.
And then we have also a story of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, another prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wanada Nuhu Rabbah. Ana ibni min ahli. My son is my ahl. Ibni, my son, not wife, my son, begotten son. Min ahli, save him also. Qal ya Nuh, innahu laysa min ahlik. He is not your ahl. Why? Because the word ahl, in terminology of Quran, is used for those people who has got similarities from morality point of view to the prophets. So if you are from that point of view, according to their morality, then you will be considered their ahl, even if you are not his son. Even if you are not his wife. Like concerning Salman, Prophet says, Salman, minna ahl al-bayt. Because similarity with spirituality. Okay? But when you don't have that one, no matter who you are, even if you are his wife, you are not going to be considered his. And we have a lot of incidents that the wives of the Prophet cannot be considered Ahlul Bayt because of those problems. Like, for example, we have another ayah here that Prophet himself has differentiated between Ahlul Bayt and his wives. In Kanzul Umal, volume 7, page 118. The first person who will join me in the day of judgment from my Ahlul Bayt is you. And from my wife's will be Zainab. This is also the other one. The whole system of purification of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is for a reason. What is that reason? Because the same Prophet once is going to say something. And that's what? I am leaving two things behind, which it will be the topic of my next discussion. I am leaving two things behind. One is Quran, which is purified, we know. And what is the other one? Sunnati or Ahlul Bayti? That's what we are going to prove about it. Okay? If it is Sunnati or Ahlul Bayti, I'll talk about that one. But I will prove to you that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say Sunnati, but he said Ahlul Bayti, and because of that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purifying Ahlul Bayt because Allah needs them to teach the same Quran and lead us toward the right path.
Thank you, Sheikh Husseini. Now, His Eminence Mulana Kiran will respond.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Qala ta'ala wa inna lutan lamina al-mursaleen idh najaynahu wa ahlahu ajma'een illa ajuzan fil ghabirin. Subhanallah, we have another misunderstanding here. When Allah Ta'ala had said that idh najaynahu wa ahlahu ajma'een, when, remember Lut, Allah Ta'ala says when we saved him and his ahl, we saved him and his family. My question is, just look at this part of the ayah. We saved him and his family. Does that include his wife or does it not include his wife? Just up till there. Would it include his wife or does it include his wife? If it does include his wife, If it does include, it does not include his wife, like Sayyid Abdullah Husseini is saying, then why should Allah say except his wife? Why must you make an exception? If something is already included, why must an exception be made? Exactly for the reason that Ahl does include wife. Qala ta'ala, Allah ta'ala also says about Nuh. Nuh asked Allah ta'ala to save his son. وَنَادَى نُوحُ الرَّبَّهُ فَقَالَ The part of the ayah which Sayyid Abdullah Husseini quoted was, قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. Nuh made a statement, إِنَّ بْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي. Does Nuh know his language or doesn't he know his language? Does he know that Ahl does include his son? No, he knows, it includes his son. But the issue here is Allah Ta'ala tells him then he is not your son. He is not your son for which reason? For إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He has committed bad deeds. So there, because of an istithna, istithna is an Arabic word, I have to translate it to you. It means an exception. Once an exception has been made, that it excludes it from what has been mentioned previously. The ayah which Sayyid Abdullah mentioned, the first one, إِنَّ لُوطَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, doesn't prove what he is trying to say. It proves what I'm trying to say. That as far as the Arabic language is concerned, the word Ahl does include a wife, unless Allah Ta'ala says it doesn't. Like he said in the case of Lut, it doesn't. Now, did Allah Ta'ala say the same in this case? No, Allah Ta'ala ordered that ayah to be put at that specific place. Allah Ta'ala ordered that ayah to be put there. Come back to another point. Aside from that, Sayyid Abdullah has mentioned a hadith from Kanzul Ummal. I don't know how adept he is in the science of hadith, but Kanzul Ummal is not an authentic book. It is merely a collection of other books, a secondary book, which gives source, which give reference to earlier sources, and that's where you're going to have to go to authenticate this particular thing, authenticate this hadith. So unfortunately, I cannot be forced to accept this hadith if Sayyid Abdullah is not able to prove to me the authenticity of the hadith. He hasn't even produced the reference of the hadith. Kanzul Ummal is a list. It gives reference to earlier sources. In those earlier sources, the hadith appears in a way in which the authenticity of it can then be ascertained. Just merely quoting a hadith without giving references, without stating the authenticity, the origin of it, that won't help us much. So that doesn't prove any point, unfortunately. Right, we go on. The issue of rijs, zahiri and rijs baltini, the ayah of the Ahlu Badr. He says that ayah doesn't refer to a takwini, a sort of purification. He hasn't translated the word takwini for us. We leave it for him to translate it. And the other one is a tashri'i. That too I will leave for him to translate. But on what grounds does he say that this ayah is a different sort of tathir than the previous, than the one in Ahzab? On what grounds? Are they arbitrary grounds? Arbitrary means it is so because I say so. Is it for that reason or are there any real reason? No, he's given a reason. His reason is that the word water is mentioned, and water is used for purifying, I mean, normal kinds of, as he mentioned, you go to the toilet, you wash your hands, and I'm asking, what relation does going to toilet and washing your hands have with the special favor which Allah Ta'ala showed to the Ahlu Badr? Allah Ta'ala says, he mentions this as a special favor. He tells them, if yughashikum an-nu'as, remember when the nu'as, the sleep cover, came over you. وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُم بِهِ. And he sent water down for you to wash your hands when you go to toilet? No. That water is not this normal water which you speak of. This is a special sort of water which was sent down for who? For this Ahlu Badr. This hasn't got to do with any normal kind of water which you and I use to wash my hands when it is dirty or filthy or something like that. If those are the grounds upon which he seeks to make this ayah a tashri'i one as opposed to the takwini one of the previous one, then I will have to beg to differ. Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention the water to the Ahlu Badr to wash their hands when they go to toilet as a special favor. That's obvious. I think every reasonable person could understand that. Then, the entire division between takwini and tashri'i, what is it based upon? Where does it come from? Is it based upon something from the Quran? Is it based upon something from the Sunnah? Or is it based upon a figment of our own imagination? Where did we get it from? Allah Ta'ala says on the one hand, yutahhirakum, on the other hand, yutahhirakum. Now I find myself in a difficult position. I can't say the same is there, that is it. So I make a explanation and say, that one is for a different kind, you see, and this one is for a different kind. And on what grounds? On grounds such as this, I'm sorry, again, I will not be able to agree with this kind of of interpretation. The words of Allah Ta'ala, the moment we subject the words of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran, to this sort of interpretations, then you and I can do practically just what we want to. Interpret the words as we want to. We cannot do that. We come back to the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Did we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, ever say that Allah Ta'ala rejected this dua of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Ma'adallah. We never said so. We didn't say that Allah Ta'ala rejected the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we do say is that your understanding of tathir and our understanding of tathir differ. You understand tathir to mean what? To mean complete infallibility. We don't understand it to mean complete infallibility. We don't understand it to mean 100% complete. Why does it have to mean that? We say if it's going to mean that, yeah, it has to mean it in the other cases, because we have already discounted, from my particular angle at least, we've already discounted the grounds upon which you distinguish between the one tathir and the other tathir. That grounds is a figment of your imagination as far as we are concerned. So, yes, Allah Ta'ala did answer the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did answer that prayer. On that prayer, however, on that prayer, I would want to ask another question. Were the Ahlul Bayt free from rijs since they were born, or from that day onwards? Were they infallible from the time that they were born, or did it only happen on that day, on the date which Sayyid Abdullah has mentioned? If they were born immaculate and infallible, as prophets are born immaculate and infallible, then why the need for a specific kind of tathir at this moment? If they were not born immaculate and infallible, if they were fallible, if they were subject to sin and subject to mistake and subject to all of those other things all along, then only can we have a need now where tathir should take place. But if they were not subject to all along, then what is the need for having a special purification ceremony? If something is pure, why purify it? Okay.
Thank you. We are also going to be making provision for question and answer, and therefore we're going to round up with this subject. So I'm going to allow the speakers a further 6 minutes each. 6 minutes, I repeat, 6 minutes each, whereafter we'll break for question and answer.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The brother is asking me that I must give him authentic hadith, and he has forgotten that I have already given him. Is Sahih Muslim an authentic book or not? In Bab chapter Ahlul Bayt, I mentioned this very clearly. And Aisha, she said, that خرج رسول الله غداط وعليه مرت مرجل من شعر أسود. He had a cloth out of hair of whatever. فجاء الحسن. Hassan came, he entered him under the kisa. ثم جاء الحسين. Hussein came, he entered him under the kisa. ثم جاء فاطمة. جاءت فاطمة فأدخلها تحت الكسا. ثم جاء علي فأدخله ثم قال. Then he says, اللهم أذهب عنهم الرجس وتهرهم تدهيرا. And then after that, the prayer of the Prophet was accepted and Allah purified them. Acceptance of the prayer of the Prophet. This is not in a Shia book, it's Sahih Muslim. Another one, Hakim in Mustadrak also has brought the same hadith, but has got a continuation there, that Umm Salama says, he comes to the Prophet, says, you say, O Allah, purify Ahlul Bayt. And then the ayah came, Innama yuridullah liyudhiba ankum ar-rijsa Ahlul Bayt yutahhirakum tathira. I am not your Ahlul Bayt. Mustadrak al-Hakim. Okay? This is not a Shia book, it's an authentic book. It says, Prophet answers, Anta ala khair, you are a good woman. Wa ha'ulai ahlu bayti, these are my household, which Allah purified it. Hakim in that book says, Hadha hadithun sahih. Beside him, Durrul Mansur, beside him, Tirmizi in Manaqib Ahlul Bayt, beside him, Ahmad Hanbal in Musnad, and also Asbabun Nuzul Waqidi. Shawahidu Tanzil is a Shia guy, so I'm not going to even bother to tell you about it. They're all saying, authentic books of our Sunni brothers says that Prophet differentiated between Ahlul Bayt and Azwaj. Here, Umm Salama comes, want to become member of Ahlul Bayt. He says, you are good, but you are not a part of Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt is those people which I have asked Allah to purify them. So that is very much important for us to realize this. So it's not only Kanzul Amal, there is lots of stacks of hadith, and I'm coming to that when it comes to the authenticity of the hadith of Ahlul Bayt and Quran, which is the Siqlain. The other thing which was also discussed, that the brother says that how I am saying that irada of Allah in this verse is takwini. Takwini, that Allah, creative will of Allah. That is takwini. Allah want to create earth, he make irada to takwini, the earth will be there. He make creative will of the Ahlul Bayt to be purified, accept the prayer of the Prophet, and it will be there. Tashri'i, irada to tashri'i is Allah wish everyone to be guided in the right path. So that is very much clear. Irada of Allah in this verse is definitely 100% takwini, because it is acceptance of the prayer of the Prophet. And immediately when you say this is not what Allah accepted, it's just something for them to practice and purify for them later, then Prophet of Allah's prayer is not answered, and that is something which we cannot believe with the state of the Prophet to be done. That's one. And secondly, when the brothers say that special water which has been revealed on the day of Badr for them, only that water purifies? Huh? It's not only that water. So why we go to toilet and wash? Why we must make ghusl and wuzu? So this water also purifies. So that the coming of that word ma, anzal al ma, Allah has revealed water for you to purify yourself, is very clear evidence that Allah want to tell us, put us under obligation that, hey, I have given you water, thank me for it, and you purify yourself using this water. And then, yes, we believe that tathir in this ayah is all type of riches should be purified from Ahlul Bayt. They should not have no sin and no mistake. That's exactly what we believe. We believe in ismat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and them to be authority after the Prophet, because Allah purifies them not from physical riches. You are telling me that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam had physical riches, like some, I don't know, dust or some, I don't know, say sperm or blood or something was in their hands or clothes or something. Allah said, hey, purify yourself. Zahiri, physical riches. Allah want to purify Ahlul Bayt from physical riches. That cannot be the meaning of this ayah. So definitely Allah wants to purify Ahlul Bayt, spiritual purification. Any mistake, immediately when you commit a slight mistake, to that extent you will not be purified. Okay? And that is exactly what the meaning of ayah is. Allah wished to purify the Ahlul Bayt, to use them as a reference after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Prophet in a mutawatir hadith, which I'll prove after this, says that I am leaving two things behind. One is Quran, and the other one is Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallam.
Thank you. Now I'd like Maulana Kiran to respond for 8 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Sayyid Abdullah has wasted some of his time. The reason I say so, because I never questioned the ahadith from Sahih Muslim. I never questioned the hadith which he quoted from Kanzul Ummal, أول من يلحقني من أهل بيتي فاطمة. Did he give us a reference for that particular? That was a hadith which I questioned, not the other ahadith. I had in my previous address, in the very beginning of my previous address, said, we accept these ahadith. So what's the point of stating it to me again? I'm sorry, sir, so you've lost some of your time on that one. You haven't still proven to me that your hadith, أول من يلحقني من أهل بيت فاطمة, you haven't given me a reliable reference for that one. Keep that in mind. On the point of Hakim Haskani, it wasn't I who said the guy is a Shi'i. It was Dhahabi who said he's a Shi'i. I invoked historical authority for this particular one. If you want to put it down to my tab, you do so at your own expense. I have given you proof of the historical proof of the fact that this person doesn't belong to our camp. Dhahabi says he belongs to your camp. You haven't given me up to now yet proof of the fact that he belongs to this camp, in fact. But that point, really, I mean, we've strained it beyond. I'm sorry. We come back to the point of the Ahlul Badr. This water that was sent down, is this normal water that was sent down? Sayyid Abdullah asks the question, does only this water purify? I say, this water purifies in this particular way. This particular water purifies in the way which Allah Ta'ala intended for the Ahlul Badr to be purified. As for all of the rest of people, for me and you, when I take this water and I wash my hands with it, that's a different purification. But you must look at the context in which Allah Ta'ala mentions this purification of the Ahlul Badr. I'm asking, does Allah Ta'ala speak incoherently? Does He speak sensibly? Or does Allah Ta'ala not make sense? If I mention that I've given you a very great favor. I've given you a free haircut at the barber. What a great thing it is. Is that something special? Allah Ta'ala mentions this to the Ahlul Badr, who is praising in this particular context here. He says He has sent down this water to purify you. Can He be telling them something as mundane as water that purifies my hands after I come out of the toilet? This point hasn't been answered yet. I will restrict myself to that.
I will now ask Sheikh Husseini to speak for the final 5 minutes, whereafter Mulana Kiran we'll round up the subject for another 5 minutes and then we'll go into question and answers.
If the brother doesn't want to accept that hadith which I have given from Kanzul Ummal, fine. He has got the authority not to accept it. But what is the answer for the other hadiths which I have narrated from Muslim and the Hakim and Mustadrak and the other ones, which actually in those hadiths the wives of the Prophet are excluded? And I have given the references, he can go and check, and please give me the answer for those authentic ones, if Kanzul Ummal is not authentic one. Because the subject are the same, we want to exclude the wives of the Prophet from the ayat. And all of the hadith say is the same, so that is not acceptable, Bismillah. Is Sahih Muslim is not acceptable? So that's another thing which my question now is not answered. So the other thing which is very much important for us to know, that all of those people among Sunni world, which they believe that the wives of the Prophet are included in this ayah, all of them, fortunately, has been condemned by the Sunni authorities in their own books. I'll give you some example. On the silsila of those hadiths, we have got somebody called Akrama, which all of the ulama-e-rijal has condemned him as a person who is wazza. And the other one is Saleh ibn Musa, which also is one of the person who has fabricated a lot of hadiths. And it's very strange. There is two book which is compiled by the Sunni very good researcher ulamas. One of them is Al-Mawzu'at. You know what's the meaning of Al-Mawzu'at? Fabricated hadiths. 3 volume, printed not in Iran but in Cairo. From A to Z of this 3 volume is all fabricated hadiths narrated in the Sunni sources. One of this book is written by Jalaluddin Muhammad Suyuti, the author of Durr al-Mansur. And the other one is written by Ibn Jawzi, which the name is Al-La'al al-Masnu'a fil Ahadith al-Mawzu'a. It's also combination and compile of all hadiths which in those books has been gathered, all fabricated hadiths. He says the name is fabricated hadiths. And if you go and you find and you read those books, it will be mind-blowing. Because a lot of hadiths that you hear there is written and it's compiled there and it is included there. One of them is Ashabi Kanujum, that inshallah we'll talk about it on its time, when it's time of Sahabaka. So that's one. Those people who also come and say that the wife of the Ahlul Bayt or a wife of the Prophet is included in it ayah, they have got another reason. They say under that clock it was not only 4 people. It was the other four wives of the Prophet, and also the other children of Prophet. And when I counted them, something like 35 people under one clock. Cannot be logical. So brothers, If we go to the sources, and if you become somebody that really, out of your sincerity, you want to just purely for the sake of searching the truth, you want to go and you have research based on the books of our Sunni brothers, we have proved and we give you evidences from Muslim, not one place, over something like 9 ayahs on one subject that the wives are excluded. So what is the answer for them? Muslim says wives are not excluded. And now we are emphasizing that Muslim says wives are not included. And we are trying our hard best to put them in. I mean, for what reason? Well, Quran differentiate between kum and kunna. And the two sets of ayat completely revealed in the two parts of time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I purified these people. And then we want to now distort the meaning and give it other things, while the zahir of ayah is very clear evidence that Allah wants to purify them because our Prophet has asked for. And here is the answer to the prayer of Prophet. I purified them, and Ahlul Bayt, who is Ahlul Bayt? Sahih Muslim says it is only 4 people.
Thank you. Shukran. Now, to give his final word and comments, Maulana Kiran.
Forgive me if you've been seeing me smiling. Forgive me for that, but certain statements were really ludicrous. And certain statements were basically false. I heard a statement that was made now, that Ikrimah has been declared a kadhab, that means a forger of hadith, by all the ulama of hadith. I have a very good friend, he's present in the majma'iyah, Mawlana Muhammad Ishaq. He's a muhaddith, mashallah. And he can vouch for what I say now, that Ikrimah was not declared a kadhab by all the ulama of hadith. That is not a true statement. Secondly, all of those ahadith that claims that you were 35 and 45, how many people were under the... Those ahadith came from... He quoted two books, Al-Mawdu'at and Al-La'ali al-Masnu'a. But he mentioned that Mawdu'at was written by Suyuti and La'ali al-Masnu'a was written by Ibn al-Jawzi. It is the other way around, gentlemen. Al-La'ali al-Masnu'a was written by Suyuti and Al-Mawdu'at was written by Ibn al-Jawzi. So I ask the question, has this man looked at the book? MashaAllah. That doesn't make too much sense to me. Anyway, the other part. I made a note of it previously and I didn't come to it. Sayyid Abdullah mentioned something. He says that Sahih Muslim says that you are addressing Umm Salama, you are not of my Ahlul Bayt. Sahih Muslim does not say that. Sahih Muslim only says, أَنْتِ عَلَى خَيْرٍ إِنَّكِ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. That is the wording. Sayyid Abdullah's words, and I made a note of it, and the recordings will prove that what I'm saying is correct. He says, you are not part. That is not true. Sahih Muslim does not say you are not part. Those are my friend Sayyid Abdullah's words. Those are not the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as contained in Sahih Muslim. Those are not the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to tell you the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Innaki ala khair, innaki min azwaji Rasulillah. She's asking, why can't I come under the cloth? He says, why would you want to come under the cloth? You are on good already. You are one of the wives of Rasulullah, which means the sequence of this ayah here already includes you. Why do you still want to be included in this special ceremony for those people who the sequence doesn't say where they come included? The sequence doesn't say they're included here. So unfortunately, that is a misquote. I will take it to understand that Sayyid Abdullah was merely paraphrasing the hadith. But I want to bring it into your attention that these were not the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I conclude on that note.
Okay. However, you can still ask questions that are relevant to the topics that were discussed. The two topics that were discussed, firstly was tahrif of Quran. The second one, the authority of Ahlul Bayt. In other words, on the second topic, I know distinctly whether the wives are involved in the Ahlul Bayt or not. If you want further clarity on these two topics, only on these two topics, and you'll have to ask your question, direct it at one of the two speakers whom you want them should answer this question, and make your question very brief. I don't want you to give a lecture. I just want you to ask a simple, straightforward question relevant to either one of the two topics that were discussed with respect and dignity, and sit down and listen to the answer. Shukran. Okay, you can ask the question. Please give your name. When you're asking a question, please give me your name before you ask a question.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The name is Abdul Qadir Hussein. The question I wish to pose is to Sheikh Abdullah Husseini. And the question is that he mentioned to be part of the Ahl, to be part of the family, you must be a person who have similarities, and that is moral similarities. Is that correct, Sheikh? So it means if I tell you, according to you, you are telling me that the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu salam are immoral and they don't have moral similarities. And the Quran tells us, At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin, wat-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat, al-khabithatu lil-khabithin. The mutta you practice in Iran, that is khabith. And the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, that is pure. So must we take the words of Allah, or must we take your words that speaks about immoral wives? I mean, that's something I find very strange.
Okay. The answer is very easy. That ayah of Quran, what it says, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, orders the wives of the Prophet sit at home. Did Aisha, in the event of Jamal, fighting with Ali, he sit at home. She went against the text of Quran. Okay? And I can go ahead.
Hello.
What I am saying, hello. I am not hello. Saying. I call always hello. Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen. She is, according to Quran. وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمُّهَاتُ. I cannot have the gut to say that they were impurified or they were doing something wrong in that special sense that it will be sin for me or you. Okay? That is the thing which they are not purified in the sense that small mistakes even from a person who is purified is not going to be expected. In that sense, yes, they are not purified. Those small mistakes which I and you can make mistakes, they were also human beings like me, like you, like the other ones. They will mistake, no problem. And that's not something which make you impure and make me impure. But in that text of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about izhabur rijs. Okay. Izhabur rijs is a special type of purification, which says yutahirakum tadhira. Definitely in that sense, the wives of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are not excluded. And here, I want to emphasize, with brothers say that I have added something to that hadith that is completely wrong, and alhamdulillah we have got recording facilities that we can rewind. I will give him another reference from Muslim. Even in that one, what I said, very early text of that hadith says that the whole reason, not it's answer to your question. It is completely answer to your question and him also. What I want to emphasize that the wives of the Prophet are not included in that ayah. So that's answer to your question and him also. So that's what I'm saying. Okay, what I want to emphasize...
You ask the question, he answers it. Okay. If he doesn't satisfy you, yeah. Then it is his fault. His listeners must consider it to be a flaw or a fault on his part. But, however, we cannot engage in a debate. Nobody from the audience can engage in a debate. If the speaker gives you an answer, you're not happy with it, I won't be able to allow you to sort of engage him in a debate, whatever the situation is. Sorry.
Okay, in that reference which I have given, it very clearly says that the wife of Prophet Salama came and she asked him, I am not your ahl. I haven't added that one. Okay? I am not your ahl. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answers, ha what? Anta bi khair. Does Prophet confirms you are my ahl? Or does Prophet says you are my wife as brother added to that? And we can rewind the tape for us to be proved that he added that one, that antam in azwaji. It's not in this hadith, maybe another place. But Prophet rejects her request to be a part of Ahlul Bayt by saying, anta ala khair wa ha'ula'i Ahlul Bayt. What is that? This is Sahih Muslim. You want another reference from Sahih Muslim? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bab Fazailu Ahlul Bayt. قيل لزيد بن أرقم بعدما روي حديث الثقلين من أهل البيت من أهل بيته؟ Who is the أهل البيت of the Prophet؟ نساؤه؟
Sheikh, I think you have emphasized the point now enough, and I think we will go on to the next question that's going to be coming. You have made your point now. It would become sort of very lengthy if you continue any further on that. I would like to take a question from a public member of the public here. Here, this brother here, sorry. This brother was before you. Can you please give the mic to this brother here?
Sayed is my name. Question to the Molanas. The Molana, you concede to the fact that in the Sahaba there is an element of error. You know, whilst we are discussing the edition of the ayahs of the Quran, you consider to that fact that there is error. You don't regard Sahaba as maksum. Is that true, Molan?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, good. Now, you say in the Shia tradition, there has not been a scale of verification of hadith for a long time, up until recently. One would ask, has that idea dawned to the Sunni world that the scale of verification of hadith to the books called Sahih books, has that same idea dawned to the Sunni world of the need for scale of verification of hadith, so that you can exclude those Sahaba who have, you know, like the point of edition of ayahs of the Quran that say, no, this is error of the Sahaba, it is excluded. But unfortunately, we still find those narrators of those hadith still included in the say. So don't you think that in the Sunni tradition, that has not yet started to take place, the scale of verification of hadith?
The scale of verification has got to do with two things within a narrator: his integrity plus his abilities to record accurately and pass it along. Now, this has come into its own from the earliest days. The development of this particular discipline of hadith methodology, it happened side by side with hadith, along with it. While hadith was developing, hadith methodology was developing along with it. And you do find cases where people make mistakes and they are corrected by others. But the only time when we will want to reject someone as a narrator and impugn the integrity of someone as a narrator is when he lies and adds something which is not really there. And I've told you that those particular ayat which you are speaking of are not additions to the Quran. Allah Ta'ala had revealed certain things and Allah Ta'ala had repealed certain things. If you do not accept the theory of Nasr, then that's a different matter altogether. But if you are implying that those particular Sahaba who said an ayah such as this was revealed, that person must be rejected purely because of the fact that he says that such and such an ayah was revealed, then I think you are basing that on grounds completely different from the grounds that are used in hadith methodology. It will only be so if that person was fabricating something and ascribing it to Allah Ta'ala. Was he fabricating? Can you prove to me that he was fabricating and ascribing it to Allah Ta'ala when Allah Ta'ala himself says that he has revealed certain ayat, and then two things he has done. By the way, two things. We have been speaking about naskh. That point was raised before. Other point was that sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes a person forget the ayah. Nansakhi ayatin aw nunsiha. There are two things together with it. So some ayat were taken away. Now, do you want to say that is a willful addition to the Quran? It doesn't necessarily have to be so. Why would you want to arbitrarily force it to be a willful addition, when we know that there had been ayat which had been repealed by Allah Ta'ala? And if we are going to do that, then I'm sorry, but Al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, Al-Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, and all the other 12 Imams, will have to reject all of them, because there are hadith ascribed to each one of these about the issues of tahrif. So if you want to apply it to those Sahaba, you're going to have to apply it to all of these other ones as well.
We'll take a question from there, and then there was a brother early on in the back there. Okay, you can ask the question.
Maulana Rafiq, do I have the right to ask a question of both parties? To Sheikh Taha.
Same question.
Because you have tried to make a similarity of purification between the Badris and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, I'd like you to answer this question then. At the Battle of Uhud, there were Mujahideen who were also present at the Battle of Badr. However, some of them fled the battlefield at Uhud. What then is the status of those who fled? Were they purified? Are they still purified? And then the question to Sayyid Husseini.
Are you asking two different questions?
Yeah, it's a different question.
I'm sorry, you only be allowed to ask one question.
No, therefore I ask, can I ask the question?
I thought the same question for both people.
No, you can
ask the second question again.
I have at no time implied that once Tathir has taken place, that Tathir will remain forever. The Quran says, I will purify, but does the Quran say that that purification will remain in place forever and ever? I have never implied that the Tathir of the Ashab of Badr was such a Tathir which can never change again. The Quran doesn't say that either. The Quran says that up to that point in time, the Quran doesn't say that this will last forever and ever and ever. It just said, to purify them. So to purify them up to there. And then, if you want to know about the status of those who fled at Uhud, you can look at the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, that He has forgiven them. But at no stage did Allah Ta'ala say that they will never ever commit a sin again. Tathir doesn't imply infallibility completely. It's only within the Shi'i paradigm that Tathir has to mean purification that lasts forever. The wording of the Quran doesn't lend itself to such meaning. And within the Sunni paradigm, at least, it doesn't at all. Not at all. So therefore, those who fled at Badr, Allah Ta'ala knows the reason why they fled. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. And He has forgiven them. Allah Ta'ala says He has forgiven them. So that is my understanding of the ayah, which I believe is supported by the wording of the Quran. And there is no contradiction as far as I am concerned.
To the brother in the back there, give me your name, please.
My name is Yahya. And my question is to the Sheikh there, Sheikh Thar.
Okay.
If I just wanted to confirm something before I continue, you said the ayah of rajm of stoning was abrogated. Is that true? The ayah of stoning, which Omar mentioned, you said it was abrogated.
Did I speak about the ayah of rajm, or did Sayyid Abdullah speak about the ayah?
Yeah, but when you explained that what Said Hussein said, you said because people forgot.
Okay,
like
yes.
Did you mention that?
Yes.
My question is simply this: why is it, if it was abrogated, that is hukum, his judgment continues till today, has continued and was never challenged by any of the ulama among the Sunnis?
Within our paradigm, within the Sunni paradigm, we have different forms of nasq, three forms of nasq. We call it Naskh al-Tilawa ma'a al-Hukm, Naskh al-Hukm la-Tilawa, and Naskh al-Tilawa la-Hukm. There are cases where the recitation of a thing is abrogated, but the Hukm still remains in effect. The Hukm still remains in effect. So the Rajm, which is there, which has been, which is in the Quran, which has been mentioned there, is in effect on account of two things. Number one, the Hukm of Allah Ta'ala once upon a time. Number two, the Mutawatir Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that hasn't been repealed. The Mutawatir Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which even the Shia buy into. The Shia also have the issue of Rajab. It's based upon one of the two. Whichever one falls away, the Hukm still remains in effect.
The brother on my left here, you state your name, please.
Yeah, my name is Abdul Razak. So my question will be very simple and short. I want to know from Mulana whether...
State who you want to know the question from?
Okay. Mulana Taha. Now, my question is that, why do the Sunni brothers say Shias have their Quran? And how do they have their own Quran? And where do you get such a statement from?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I have never said that the Shia have a different Quran. If you have been following the proceedings this evening clearly, you would remember that I said there is no different copy of the Quran that the Shia have. But what I can tell you, where I get the fact from, that the Shia do believe that this, some of the Shia, not Sayyid Abdullah, please understand, not Sayyid Abdullah, he doesn't believe in a different Quran, he believes in the same Quran as us. But to come back to your point, I needed to make that point. But to come back to the point, some Shia do believe that the Quran which we have, and I quoted from this particular source, which is a Shi'i source, and this source stated to me that there are certain things which are deficient in this copy of the Quran that we have. I never stated that the Shia have a different Quran. I would be stupid to say such a thing, because I know there is no different Quran, and I know the reason also, and I stated the reason why there is no other Quran. But if you're a Shi'i, brother, I don't know what you are. If you're a Shi'i, and you believe in the Shi'i, like you believe in the ahadith of your a'imma, then you must know that there are several ahadith in the sources of the Shia, which according to many of the ulama add up to tawatur, which is undeniably strong. that say that there is or there have been changes in this Quran, and that is all that I've been saying. That's all that I've been saying. I hope you understand my point.
Okay. Thank you, Maulana. I will take a question from that gentleman in the back whose hand's up right now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mr. Empire Chairman, sir, can you allow me to ask two half questions, which will make one question?
One.
Not two halves.
No,
all right. I want to pose my question to Dr. Sayyid Abdullah Husseini. And my question is that I get the understanding and the impression that there isn't much feeling for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, although at the end he came and said very, 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 very faintly, she's Ummahatul Mu'mineen, and we do accept that. And then he posed the question, she didn't obey the command of Allah. She went out to go and fight. Is she? But then when it comes to proving certain points, then he goes, Aisha radiallahu. My question. This is my question. And when he comes to quoting a hadith, he says, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says in Muslim. What is your stance, Sayyid Abdullah Husseini? Where is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? Please clarify objectively with sources from Quran and hadith. Shukran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is partially your answer and the answer to the Maulana AK also. Maulana posed a question that how this At-Tayyibin, Lit-Tayyibat can apply when Prophet has got such a wife. I mean, that can apply to Prophet Nuh also. It's going to be a shot on Prophet Nuh to say what a type of wife he has got. At-Tayyibin, Lit-Tayyibat. Does Nuh is not a Tayyibin? So he also has to have a purified wife if that is the case. So it's not necessary. We are not purifying here the wives of the Prophet. We want, if a Prophet has got a good wife or a bad wife, that doesn't change anything. If Prophet has got followers or doesn't have followers, it doesn't change nothing about the value of that Prophet. If a Prophet has got a good son or doesn't have a good son, doesn't change his status. And my clear stand, not only concerning Aisha, but concerning everyone who contributed in history of Islam, is they have got their own places. Aisha and other wives of the Prophet are confirmed Ummahatul Mu'mineen. I don't have the gut to insult the wives of my Prophet. But the thing is that the same Prophet is telling me that these are not my Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt, according to the hadiths that I have, the hadiths that I have quoted from Muslim, that the wife of Prophet Umm Salama comes to ask her, I am your Ahlul Bayt, he says no. So instead of you asking me that question, you must ask that question from someone to tell you that why this such a hadith as we have in Sahih Muslim.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, brother. Please sit down. You asked a question. I said before, if you ask a question, unfortunately, and if he answers, if you're not satisfied, he answered partly or fully, you still have to just accept his answer. Whether you're happy or not, you'll have to accept what he has said. Right. The next brother.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Farooq. I would like to pose a question to Sheikh Attar. Is it Attar? Taha. About the yeah? Yeah.
Who's your question addressing?
Sheikh.
What's the question?
I want to know from him what would be then the significance in ayah placing this ayah of the purification and actually as he has acknowledged that the people that were purified the Prophet made dua for were the five that Husseini has mentioned. Now, in his understanding, what is the significance then?
I think the previous question or the two questions previously that I answered probably covers that as well. I said, I've answered it already. My chairman tells me that I've answered that one already. I said that the Quran says tathir has taken place. Have you understood from that tathir will remain forever and ever? Allah Ta'ala says, I have purified. When something is purified, can it be sullied again? Do you understand from the ayah and that this purification will remain in effect forever and ever? I said, the wording of the ayah doesn't lend itself to that meaning. So tathir applies to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the same sense as it applies to the...
My name is Bilal Abanye. My question is directed to both scholars. Any one of them can give me the answer. to my question. Respected scholars, I want to know from both of you the consequences of this meeting today, of this debate, as far as one, the unity of Muslim world, two, as far as the difficult situation that the Ummah finds itself being faced by the enemies of Islam, the wave of their treacherous plans, as far as the Ummah is concerned. And yet, we expose all these differences. What is the impact of this session today to the unity of Muslims out there?
I agree with you and I disagree with you. I agree with you that we are living most difficult times. And I agree with you that meetings of this nature, at this point in time, is not desirable. Not of this nature, this point in time. But they do have a certain desirability. And the desirability that they do have, meetings of this nature, maybe at another time it would have been much better. At this time it's probably problematic. But in principles, meetings of this nature bring out certain things which unfortunately have been kept hidden over the years, where people deny certain things which are fact. For example, a person says, we never said that the Quran is changed. Many of you might have learned tonight that no, several people did say that the Quran is changed. So certain facts will be brought to light. And certain fallacies will be shown up for what they are. On the other hand, at this particular point in time, to have called a meeting of this nature, I fully agree with you. But I will also say that I am the respondent. I'm not the challenger. I didn't call for a meeting of this nature. If it was depending upon me, I would not have called for a meeting of this nature. At this point in time, there I fully agree with you.
The brother on my left there, and then the last question.
Abdullah has to respond to the same question.
Oh, okay, was this question posed to both people? Yeah. Okay, then Sayyid Abdullah, you'll have to respond. Then only two questions I'll be taking after this. One on my left here, one on my right there, and then we are going to close the session.
Okay, concerning the unity, that is exactly the purpose of Islamic revolution in Iran. After the victory of Islamic revolution, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh came with this big slogan, La Shia, La Sunniya, Wahda, Wahda Islamiyya. And even when we are going to Mecca, Imam Khomeini's official fatwa is that when I go there, I must pray like you brothers. I should not use my muhr. I should join your jama'at in Masjid al-Haram. And if I want to make my own jama'at, it will be considered haram. And I am not allowed to make jama'at in my hotels when the jama'at is going there in Masjid al-Haram. The same Imam Khomeini is such a person that while the country is under the attack by the Saddam Hussein, and we receive missiles which destroys Tehran and 12 million people will fly. In the same time, the ambassador of Russia came to Imam Khomeini for a deal. He says to Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, that you know this missiles is made in Russia. And if you don't want these missiles to come to Tehran, stop giving guns to Afghanis. You know what Imam Khomeini said? He said, chest out this pig from my office. We are not here to negotiate on the destiny of our Muslim brothers. He didn't say they are Sunnis. We are under sanction in Islamic Republic of Iran because supporting of our Muslim brothers around the world, which they are not Shias. We are suffering because of Palestine. Show me one Shia is in Palestine. We are suffering because we were pro-Algerian people. We are suffering because we were pro-Bosnian people. We were suffering because we, all over the world where there is a struggle, we were helping the Sunni brothers. And because of that, up to this moment, they are pressurizing us. Don't talk about Palestine. We will give you this one. We will give you that one. And we say, no, Palestinian issue is an Islamic issue. We didn't say they are Sunnis. I mean, let them die. That's not the case. I am dying for you, brothers. I extend my hand of brotherhood to you. You don't want to accept that's another story. I am saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna al-Quran haq. Ashhadu anna al-Sirat haq. I am believing in the same Quran. I pray like you 5 times. I fast. I go to Hajj. I pay my zakat. I mean, I do jihad fi sabilillah. I become shaheed. I chased Israel from Lebanon. I mean, what do you want more? I am dying for you, brothers. Whenever you need, I am there. So, brothers, this is especially a very crucial time that we need unity, and in such environment, at least we can say, Alhamdulillah, we found these people, they don't have another Quran, so at least to that extent, say, okay, this is now accepted. You don't have another Quran. Well, at least, okay. At least Sheikh, we must like, accept that one.
Sheikh, I think we are running short of time. Sorry, I'll have to stop you. Last two questions, one on this left and one here in the front, and that's it. That's the final decision, and we're closing.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Hassan. I'm a layman who understands English. I just want to pose a question. If I see a dog running past here, and I tell you all, look at this cat running past here, would you say I know English? I heard somebody translating the ayat of the Quran, wherein Allah says, Yaqulu, for a male, and Allah always used male for himself.
Excuse me. Are you asking a question?
Yeah, the question. I'm coming to
ask the question.
So, for she, which we all know that the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were she, we translated it as he. Then in another place, Allah says in the Quran, يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, we said, تَقُولُ, which means female. After all this, we say we read 16,000 ahadith. How did we read it? How did we understand it?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antas samiul alim. My question is this one. Maulana Hussein,
no, state your name and to who are you addressing the question?
My name is Adam.
And who are you addressing?
I'm addressing to Maulana Hussein.
Okay.
Maulana Hussein, can you explain us this hadith, call it hadith Thakalai? That's my question. Assalamu alaikum.
There is a very famous and a very authentic hadith called hadith of Thakalai. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from him there is two sets of hadith narrated. Please pay attention to this. This is very crucial and very, very important. And I put my head on this hadith and I claim, if somebody can come with an answer about this, I will become Sunni. Read this and listen to this very carefully. This is eye-opener. Brothers, listen to me very carefully. Two sets of hadith. Prophet says, I'm leaving two things behind. One is Quran and the other one is Ahlul Bayt. There is another set also says Quran and Sunnati. Let us value these two. Extensively, I have done research and I have found that more than 200 from the Sunni brothers, ulama, from 30 of Ashab and from six way, it has been narrated that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I'm leaving two things behind. One is Quran and the other one is Sunnah. But the other hadith, which says Sunnati has come only and only and only in three places, compared to 200 from 30 of Ashab, only in three places. And I claim, and if I can't prove it, so that's my problem. You've got videotapes and here. I claim this and I can prove it, brothers, from three places. The first one is Muwatta, and the other two also narrates from Muwatta. So it means it's only one. My question is, why our Sunni brothers base the foundation of their entire faith on a hadith which is so weak with one quotation compared to 200 of the ulama and compared to 30 of ashab and compared to 100 and the other one, the hadith of Ahlul Bayt also has come in Sahih Sittah with the exception of Sahih Bukhari and Sunan Abi Dawud, the rest, all of them, they are carrying that hadith that Prophet says, I'm leaving Quran and Ahlul Bayt. But the hadith of Sunnah has not come in none of the authentic books. That is my question for you, inshallah, to live with it and give me an answer for that, and then we'll see.
Dear listeners, has now come to an end. We hope you have enjoyed today's session. You might not be entirely have been satisfied with either one of the speakers, but that is beyond my control. And inshallah, God willing, Allah willing, if both these eminent scholars agree to a further date, to a further time, they can continue with this discussion. With these words, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.